Okay, we have Alderman Transier, Alderman Frieders, Carrie Parker, Lisa Pickering, and Chief Jensen. And your good chairman, Terulis. Minutes for correction. Well, I'll look at the citizen comments first. No comments. No citizen comments. Minutes for correction. November 7th, 2019. We're good with me. Minutes corrected. New business, PS 2020-01, monthly report review.
So there's October and November monthly report. Pretty much the see some a few different things in there. A couple comments looking at the employees. It's going to be same for October, November. Jump from 35 in October of 18 to 41 in October of 2019. Again, thank you very much. You jump up 5 patrol officers, which is huge. You look at the overtime hours worked, we're significantly less. I hope to continue to see that overtime less from last year at the same month as compared because we have staffing. Look over some of the community policing efforts, and I'm happy to say that all but one of the animals that we've had here for adoption have been adopted, just so you know. Training hours for the month of October, 550. Our traffic crash summary looks like for the third month in a row, about 126 and 47 is the largest intersection. All of them are rear-enders where people are turning right, waiting, stopping, and somebody thinks they're going and they rear-end them. So Kyle Davis did some really nice work putting together some information. We gave it to Eric Deuce to talk about it, maybe public safety. I'm sorry, it is Public Works Committee. And then possibly pass on some information to IDOT to see if there's anything we can do as far as maybe sightline issues go, moving the stop line up. The problem is you'd move the stop line on the other side of where the crossing is at. That could be very difficult. So I'm going to follow up with Eric to see if he's going to bring anything to the Public Works Committee to see if there's anything Public Works can do. But again, it continues to be an issue. As far as anything crime-related goes, you're going to see our numbers for Part 1 and Part 2 crimes. Part 1 crimes were down 88 from the previous year. Part 2 crimes were down as well, which is good to see. So that is October. November, overtime again went down, again kind of what I'm hoping would go down. It went down from 59.5 to 49.75 in overtime hours. Obviously, you're going to see a big difference when it comes to like holiday based on the contract. They get holiday hours and most of it's overtime, so you're going to see a big spike for the month of December, but that's just kind of how it's laid out in the contract. As far as I'm going to jump straight over to the crime items that we have. So your Part 1 crimes, we are through November, we are 72 less Part 1 crimes. So Part 1 crimes are the crimes that would include your murder, your sex crimes, your robbery, more of your forcible felony type crimes. So we're 72 less than what we were last year. We still have the month of December to go, so obviously you guys will have that report by the 10th of this month. And then Part 2 crimes were minus 49. So we're on track to hit less. Hopefully December, it was a busier month, but not as busy. I don't think it's going to increase those numbers. We also added the crisis intervention calls, Joel, based on our conversation. So you see in the month of November of 2019, we had 5 mental health crisis intervention calls, 4 suicide threats. For 2019 total, we have 37 suicidal threats and 5 mental health crisis intervention calls. So, and then your involuntary committals are figured into those numbers because they would title it out as something else. So, I'm going to be very anxious to see where we go at this next year. Patrol arrests, you see that we're up 16 for misdemeanors and down 17 for felony charges. And our calls for service to date, while I don't have December numbers in there, if I total up January through November, we are 95 ahead of what we were last year. So you're going to start to see, you know, things are getting busy. Our population is not going down. Calls for service are going up a bit. So.
The crimes are going down.
What's that?
The crime's going down.
But the crime's going down, yeah. But what you see in there is your non-criminal reports, they're actually going up. So somebody would call and, you know, like a lockout. You know, we take a report number for a lockout because there's a waiver of liability that they have to sign.
Right.
So, you know, it kind of fluctuates here and there. It's kind of interesting to watch and kind of see and trying to figure out where that increase is at. The good thing is we're not seeing the increase in crime.
Right. Service calls also, you're doing a better job of getting yourself out there as far as see something, say something. That's
yes.
The one thing that, like, I've talked about with my neighbors, like, people complain about something only on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day, because I don't live on
yes.
the internet, you respond to it. Well, what'd the cops say? What do you mean?
Yeah.
Okay. If you see something, say something. Yeah. Don't just say it 12 hours after on the internet. I think that's one of the big things that I've noticed just since, you know, like around the Halloween time when you were out with the trick-or-treaters,
mm-hmm.
most of my neighbors will report on something that they already called the cops on.
Yeah.
And that includes waiting a cannonball on 47. Like, you should be vocalizing the things that frustrate you or the things that concern you.
That's right.
So while, yeah, I want those crime numbers to go down, I'm more than happy with the service calls coming in because that means that you're doing what you're supposed to do. You're being of service. So
that's
I think
right.
it's a good stat.
Yeah, I'm with you. So that's the monthly report stuff. You'll have our December monthly. December's kind of difficult because you're having to create and get the totals from the entire year. So I'm hoping to still have it out by the 10th. My goal is to have it out by the 10th. I know that Nicole's working on that today, and so we'll try to have everything we can. I know they put out some stuff for the annual report. There's some stuff from the police department that we included a little bit more than what we had last year. Next year we will probably do our own annual report that will be very comprehensive with things just because there's so many different things that, you know, that we do. And it's a way for you guys to kind of see a lot of different things that we do. So next year we'll plan to have our own. But so that's all I have for that, bud.
Well, my daughter, who volunteers with Kendall Animal Control, wants to thank you for your
good.
Efforts for adoption, you know, bring attention
good.
To the adoption of animals that end up over there. So
nice.
Thank you.
You betcha. That's our records department. Nicole and her staff, they're awesome. So
next item, PS 2020-02, adjudication reports for November and December.
So the adjudication reports, most of them you'll see are building. Well, there's not most of them. There's a lot of building and zoning on here. There are several police-related ones as well. I'm not seeing anything special. Over the last couple of Mondays, you're seeing some cannabis charges that are on here where you may not see those same cannabis charges, you know, in after January 1st, obviously. The ones that are on here, there's several of them that are juveniles. So you may still see some of those cannabis charges because they're minors. It's still in violation of our ordinance. And then there's a few on here, the ones that are not minors. I want to say there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 maybe that are adults and they were openly smoking in a car. And again, another violation of the ordinance. So our goal wasn't to go out and just harass people, but when you're smoking while you're driving, I mean, that's a problem. Or you're juvenile and you have it at school or somewhere where you shouldn't have it, whether it's school, whether it's a grocery store, whatever it may be. So,
are there any pending citations for cannabis that are scheduled for the next couple weeks?
I don't know that question.
Is that how is Wally and Greg going to handle that if someone comes in and says, sentence me under the new law? Because if they wrote him a ticket 2 weeks ago, theoretically, they probably wouldn't get in front of the administrative hearing officer until next month.
Well, that's a great question. I don't know the answer to that. I would think the offense occurred before the new law. I would assume that they could still be charged
mm-hmm.
and found liable in the city court. The question is would it
because the new ordinance has taken effect.
January 1st.
Yeah, I think as a defendant, you have the option to choose which law you want to.
See, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
I did not know that.
So I don't know if And it's something that Wally and Greg are going to have to figure out, whether or not they can find someone who got a ticket in December, but don't go in front of them until January. So.
Huh. We'll have to look into that and see. That's a good question.
That's what happens when they change the laws every year.
Questions?
I'm going to find out.
Next item, PS 2020-03, request to dispose of surplus items.
So this is continued cleanup of the Sallyport and storage unit. We have a fingerprint machine that is no longer needed, 7 laptops, and 21 MVPs, which are the sweatshirt laptops that have been replaced. So all of these items, they do not have a value at this point, so we are looking to dispose of them through a recycling company. So with your approval, we can do that.
More cleanup, huh?
Mm-hmm.
3 more areas to go.
Good to go to council?
Please.
PS 2020-04, Liquor Code Amendment, waiver of fees for temporary permits.
Under the licensing code for special events, we have two different routes that licensees can take. So if you're a current liquor license holder, you're always eligible to apply for the special event liquor license, and it has been written into the code for years that the mayor has the ability to waive those fees. We also issue temporary permits to a category, it's political subdivision, which would be governmental entities, clubs, non-for-profits, wineries, microbreweries, brew pubs, etc. So if any of those types of organizations come to the city, the code is currently written, we have to charge them $35. The mayor would like the option to also waive those fees, just as he does the special event category. So for 2019, we had 6 temporary permits that were issued to outside organizations. So 2 to St. Patrick's, 1 to the Kiwanis Club, and 3 to Fox Valley Winery. So it's not a large number of licenses. The licenses issued to Fox Valley Winery were when they participated in special events that the city held.
And they still had to pay?
Yes, the they paid the $35, as did the other 2 organizations that are not-for-profits.
I'm okay with the non-profits. I'm okay with the wineries. I'm okay with breweries. Churches don't pay taxes. They pay $35 for a brick permit. Same with political organizations. That's my opinion. That's all I have to say about that. If they want to pay taxes, I'm cool with them waiving the $35.
Do you want to carve it out and say...
Yes.
Yeah.
If they pay taxes... I'm totally kidding about carving it out. But no, I say churches and... The church and state, both of them should be paying $35.
You want to live with this one?
So, are you meaning other governmental entities other than the city? You would like to pay $35?
Yeah, absolutely. That's just my opinion.
PS 2020-05, 2020 department goals.
So I wanted to just kind of, I'm not sure what you guys have done as far as goals in the past and how you guys have been involved in that. In your packet are the goals for the 4 goals for 2020 that our department is going to focus on. It was funny, I was having a long conversation with my wife, and she's like, if they've never had goals before, you're going to give them 4, they are going to freak. And I said, well, I kind of went in and explained each one of them. So the reduction of personal injury and property damage crashes through enhanced communication, education, enforcement. We want to try to identify, or when we get somebody that complains about a particular traffic enforcement, whether it's a stop sign, speeding, whatever it may be, our goal is to gather data first before we put staff towards something. Obviously, 34, 47, you guys see the daily pass on what we have, you know, how many hours we spend, how many written warnings, how many tickets we do. Our goal is to obviously reduce the amount of crashes we have in town. And my goal is to try to get 3% reduction of personal injury accidents as compared to 5% reduction in property damage crashes. In 2018, we had a total of 640 crashes. We had 40 personal injury, and we had 600 property damage. In 2019, We have 34 as compared to 40, and we have 571 as compared to 600. So for a and this is as of November, for a total of 605 crashes. Our goal is, obviously, now that our staffing levels are up, we have officers dedicated to specific areas in town that we know we are having issues on, whether it's speeding on 34 or speeding on 47. Our goal is, obviously, to reduce, you know, slow people down. Speed's a major contributory cause for crashes. So that's really the gist of that goal. We're going to do it by directed patrols. We're going to gather data. We're going to gather information. We're going to assign patrol staff where they need to be through either directed patrols or targeted patrols, utilize social media and press releases, and we're going to have an officer teaching in a driver's ed class a couple times a year over at the high school, which is, I think, just a great partnership. You know, you get in there and actually hear it firsthand from somebody. So as far as goal number two goes, a reduction in part one and part two crimes. When you look at the crime rate for the city of Yorkville, it's based on your part one crimes times, I think, 100,000 divided by your overall population, and that's how crime rate is determined. I think people move to a community for a couple, several reasons, but I think the top two are obviously schools and safe. Is the community safe? And does the community have good schools? So, you know, our goal is to have a reduction in part one and part two crimes. This is how we're challenging our staff this year with traffic and crime specifically. It's always something that cops are doing. It's always something we're constantly striving to do. But now it's in paper, and now the sergeants are going to be given latitude to direct their team however they need to direct their team to make sure that this goal happens. It gives the officers autonomy to go out there. They may want to run certain traffic details or certain crime details, or they may want to partner up with CIT on an eventual goal that we have which is our targeted patrol team, which we're going to try to develop. You know, if we know we're getting hit with burglary motor vehicles, we're going to focus on that area. I live in Blackberry Creek North. Right now, knock on wood, I don't have crime in my subdivision. Patrol officers need to get in that subdivision. They need to be seen. But I want the guys to spend 80% of their time in the areas where we know we have problems. And if we can do that, we can reduce that crime. Hopefully arrest people. If I can't arrest, then displace, if that's what we need to do. So as far as goal number three, increase our interaction with the social media footprint. I think Bear has done a tremendous job with social media, developing our own Facebook page. We have a few guys out there that if you give them the opportunity to post on Facebook, it is going to be absolutely hilarious, and it's going to be fun, and it's going to be interactive, and that's what we want. That's, you know, when you post good things, that's when you see people responding back with things. Some of our posts have gotten, you know, 10, 12, 15,000 hits, which has been kind of cool to see. So we're going to be looking at doing Facebook, looking at doing Snapchat, Twitter, and anything else that we could do from a social media aspect. I don't know how to do it all myself, so that's why Bear is awesome at that. And then we're going to research, develop, and implement a crisis intervention team. And this is going to be taking the entire year to do. It's not something that can be done in a month. Right now, we've had training in mental health training through the Kendall County Health Department. Every staff member in the town or in our city police department has mental health computer training through the Illinois Law Enforcement Training and Standards Board. That's an 8-hour training class. By the end of 2020, we'll have 17 officers CIT certified. All staff hired before 2019 have had 8 hours of mental health first aid class. Our officers that were hired after 2019, they have not had that class. We're going to focus on trying to get them to that class. We're currently working on and developing relationships with a couple of autistic families we have in town. He's a young man, he's 16. He's a big kid. And we've met with the family and the parents, and we have officers just going to the house at a random time to stop by. We want him to see the patch. We want him to see the star. We want to develop those relationships. So that's what we're starting to identify. And through the course of that, developing our CIT team, where we'll have multiple members of the department together, working together, trying to identify families that need assistance, whether that's in the form of mental health awareness, whether it's in the form of domestic violence, whatever that CIT plan is, we're going to look at our stats. And how many domestic violence calls do we have? Is there a way that we can already partner with the state's attorney's office and identify how can we provide service to a victim in that particular case, whether it's an autistic family who has a kind of a lower functioning child, and how can we get in with them to make sure that things are better? So that's going to be a year-long process. That's going to be a tough one, yeah. But it's going to be a good one. That's going to be probably the most exciting.
So the standard for CIT, like when you say that you're CIT certified, whatever it is a 40-hour?
It is. CIT is a 40-hour class. It's pretty intensive, and it covers all sorts of, you know, you cover your developmental disability, kids, adults. You cover your mental health, you know, schizophrenic, bipolar. It's a wide variety of things, and it talks about having resource availability, and being able to get the people that need to get those services, and trying to work with the family. So, the gentleman that I spoke to you on the phone with, we've really worked with that family to try to get them services. So we have lined up a meeting for the family to meet with the Kendall County Health Department and Amal and her staff, because when you have a illness in the family's worried about the child. They're never worried about themselves. Right. And that family themselves need to focus on their mental health well-being and their well-being in the house so that they can kind of bring it all together. If they forget about themselves, they're not really going to be able to help the person in need. So we have we've worked with them all to get that family assistance. We've also contacted that family 3 times since the incident occurred to make sure things are going well. And how are things? How are you guys? Do you need anything? And then we're going to offer to have an officer go over there to try to develop that relationship with the subject, because right now there's a trust issue.
Yeah.
And right, wrong, I mean, there's a trust issue.
Yeah.
And so if we can develop that relationship, then it's going to, when things go bad, and if one's not on medication, it's going to go bad. Hopefully we've developed that rapport and that relationship that can get services quicker. Yeah. So, yeah. So, that's our goal with that.
So, when you're talking about the outreach education portion of how a CIT-trained department works. One of the things that I know, like in my line of work with the pharmacy, is that nobody really knows what I do until they need me, and that's kind of, it's not really my fault, but it's something that I have to constantly deal with. Mm-hmm. But when you are a publicly funded service, and people already have a negative opinion of you, whether it's, you know, media or bad cops, the positive PR that you have is part of your goal number 3.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't just so that people are, you know, clicking like and laughing and developing that trust. It's also realizing that there is the ability to kind of, quote-unquote, market the services that you provide.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that, you know, growing up in Aurora and being the token white guy in a large group of friends, I didn't have a lot of the issues that people of color did growing up.
Mm-hmm.
But that's also true of the people that are dealing with mental health issues in their families, is that it's that same sort of distrust, because instead of knowing why Uncle Leroy is a certain way, they just grab him, throw him in cuffs, and throw him in the back of whether it's a paddy wagon or an ambulance. I think my question that I'm getting at is when, and we're talking about an incident with a Yorkville resident, part of a Yorkville family, who was having a mental health crisis, and it was public, very, very public. And it wasn't just how do you get him help, it's how do you make sure that this isn't something that is systemic, that keeps happening.
Correct.
And it wasn't just fixing him, but it's making sure that the family understands that it's okay not to be okay. It's okay for you to have a mental health struggle with the mental health crisis or struggles of your family member. And it's also okay that you get help for someone else's problem. It's kind of like when your mom comes to live with you and you have to put her in a Hoyer lift. You have to go through that training, right? This is something where in a mental health directed conversation, how do you, as a police organization, not brag, but share or perform outreach to inform the people in the community that that's something you've done without violating the privacy of the person and the family? Because that, honestly, what you told me over the course of those few days is something where I'm like, I want people to know, not only that YPD is in charge of this and is taking it seriously, but it's something that a police department should be mindful of trained for and be able to like afford those services to people who need them. Mm-hmm. And I understand that, you know, as our community grows, it's going to be more and more difficult to seek out those people that require assistance. But you've got an opportunity here to not only document how this all unfolded and how, you know, whether it's, you know, traumatic brain injury or drug use or, you know, PTSD, whatever it might be, it's identifying. It's almost like with the metrics that you've already kind of done since you've taken the seat, is how do you demonstrate the effectiveness not only of your training, but of the trust, the community's trust in your organization,
right,
without sharing some things. But also, my big question is, how do you share what you've done without violating any privacy?
You know, the sharing what we've done is probably something I, without violating policy, I just don't know if we can do. When you talk hypotheticals and you talk examples, yes, that's stuff that we can talk about, stuff we can do. I think by developing the CIT program itself and having active involvement and partnerships, not only within the organization, but within the mental health world, in the community, and being at events and openly talking about the relationships we're trying to build with families that have, you know, individuals that, you know, are challenging to them. Working with the school district to identify some of those same families that we're talking about that are in our schools that we may not know of because we've never been called to that house. I think the other thing that is going to help us with that is, it's funny, there was a lady at one of the downtown events who we met and talked with. She met with Bear. She moved to Yorkville, extremely happy with the relationship she's developed with our police department. She has a child, one of the two that I was talking about earlier. And it's funny how that word spreads. So there's a very tight-knit group of people. You know, if you have an autistic son or daughter and they're in the school, it's a tight-knit group of people. If somebody is going through a crisis, the other people know. And so if we do the right things the way we're supposed to do them, I think that's going to grow and spread.
So those who need to know will,
yes,
probably find out.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping.
So along the lines of events, you're talking about, so it's youth outreach, it's community engagement, not just by policing, but also just kind of being present at things, correct? Just to throw a date on your calendar, February 11th, it's a Tuesday before City Council. We're working with the Village of Oswego and Hope for the Day and the Den Skate Park, which just opened on 34, right by River Heights Veterinary Clinic.
Okay.
It's right before the bend, before you get to 31.
Really?
Yeah, we're going to do 2 hours of programming with some demonstrations of BMX and skateboard, but trying to encourage the outreach and have the conversation about mental health between the ages of like 8 and 14.
Okay.
But that's a perfect example of something where it sounds hokey, man, you start talking to kids and you explain that it's okay not to be okay and that sometimes your bottle gets shaken, those types of conversations can have lasting impacts in a positive kind.
What time are you talking, Joel?
4 to 6. So we have plenty of time to get back to City Council at 7.
And what's the name of the place?
The Den, D-E-N.
Okay. We will have somebody there. I don't know if you follow any of the school stuff that's going on. Ryan Goldsmith, I don't know if you guys know Ryan Goldsmith, but I can't wait to get him on Facebook to start being that, you know, a team of officers that, you know, post. And it's funny, people will say, well, why are you going to let officers do it? What if they post something they're not supposed to? And I'm like, well, hold on a minute. These guys can carry a gun and take someone's civil liberties, but we're concerned about them posting on Facebook, really? And so I'm excited to see what he does. So if you follow him at all, he's hilarious. And he has developed a rapport with these kids at the school. He's probably one of the best SROs I've ever seen. And he's been in there 6 months. And he's just doing amazing. Well, not even 6 months, 4 months. He's doing it. My son, 18-year-old boy. You know, and he actually goes up to him and talks to him in a school with a cop. That's pretty impressive, I think. So, yeah.
So what happens when you lose dignity, man.
Yep.
Good work.
All right. Additional business. You have a couple of items you want to share with us?
I do. They're not on the agenda. Not really anything that you guys can take a look at that here. This is more just information. There's going to be a lot more to follow. But in reference to our vehicle lease program, we are working with other agencies right now to determine their satisfaction in lease programs. The attachment that I gave you, that information came out after the agenda items were due for this meeting, so I could not put it on the agenda. You'll see pretty much that, you know, everybody seems to be pretty happy with their lease program. There's a variety of different lease links. There's different vehicles, and there's different, you know, equipment, whether it's administrative, whether it's patrol. You'll find that there's one agency on there, the first one on the list, that is not happy, will not be renewing their lease, and that's because they can't get vehicles. We're running into that right now. You guys authorized us to purchase a vehicle. I can't get the car, and we're trying and trying and trying.
Is it the time of year that we do this? Because we keep having the same freaking...
Well, put it this way. If you give me authorization May 1st to buy two cars, as an example, by May 2nd, I will have the cars ordered. So we don't run into this at the end. Now, also keep in mind that Ford, because they're discontinuing their sedan, and Chevy is discontinuing their sedan, Ford is probably being inundated with orders for SUV-type vehicles. Now, Chevy still has an SUV, the Tahoe, that they can utilize. Dodge has it, and that's actually one of the other things. You're going to see that there's other agencies here that use Dodge. So this week, Bear is going to reach out to Dempsey, and we're going to find out what the state bid is for Durangos. We're going to price them. We're going to see if we can get it for $5,000, $6,000 cheaper. Why not?
Right.
Do I care if I have a Ford and a Dodge fleet? No. I care that I have vehicles that are working, that are roomy enough to fit. You got a guy like Sean Inc., who's 6'5", and he's huge. I mean, this little Chevy, he's in here like this here. So we're gonna try to purchase and make sure we do our research to make sure that if we're looking for a car, we're getting the best value for the vehicle that we're looking for with the equipment. So just stuff for you guys to look at. There'll be a lot more to come on that. Actually, if I would have had that information beforehand, we could have talked a little further. I know the last meeting I handed out stuff. There was a lot of information on should we do this, should we not do this. And obviously that's your guys' choice. But I think at the next public safety, we will be talking about it. We're also coming into budget time. So, you know, it's a little bit easier to determine, you know, do we want to do this? Because it's a guaranteed amount of money for a set period of time. You know, and can we do it any other ways? You know, those are questions that you guys will have to answer and pretty much tell me what you want to do, because I'll make anything happen.
I think it was, I want to say it was about 3 years ago we had talked about, what's the Ford? Is it the Commander?
I'm sorry?
What's the Ford SUV? Is it the Commander?
The Explorer.
No. It's police specific.
The Explorer, it's the,
Defender or something like that?
No.
Is it the Interceptor?
Interceptor
yes. That's so the Ford police specific Interceptor. There was some interest in those because Aurora had bought a bunch. And then you find out the next year that Aurora didn't just buy a bunch. They bought a bunch for like 3 years. And Mr. Hopp was just on it. Like, bam, they're gone. Bam, they're gone. And that's why Aurora looks the way that it does. Is there an advantage to going straight SUV? I don't understand why the sedan is no longer a popular vehicle option, because
they're just not making it. They're going to the SUV type, the all-wheel drive. Now, the sedan for Ford is all-wheel drive. Our Chevys are not. So in this type of weather, it's difficult.
Right.
The Explorer, so to speak, the Interceptor Explorer that they would call it, the SUV model, it's got a lot more room in it.
Yeah.
You know, when you have to put in here all your trunk equipment, and there's just a ton of trunk equipment, and then you have to put the in-car video camera system, and you have all the electronics that are running to that trunk with a spare tire is chock full. You know, then you have rifles, then you have shields, then you have ladders, you have hooligan tools. These are all the tools that our guys should be carrying in a squad car. Right now they can't carry. Some of it we don't have,
right.
But in the Chevy trunk, it's tight. In the Ford trunk, it's tight. So you have to buy a rack that raises up that you slide out.
Right.
The Explorer provides you a lot more room, and it's also roomy for passengers. Right now, you might be able to fit in a Chevy, but you wouldn't. In the back, I mean, it's just different size. I wouldn't fit back there.
I think the spares are underneath, too, in the Fords. They don't put them in the trunk.
They're underneath. So you've got them, and then there's a thing. You have to actually take everything out to grab that.
So they're not underneath the car anymore? We have to lift it up?
Now, the SUVs, they are.
Yeah.
The SUVs, Durango, they are.
In the trunk.
I'm sorry?
In the Durango, they're in the trunk. You got to remove everything.
Durango, they don't have a police model Durango. They just have the Charger.
Okay.
That at least that I know of. They may Joel, but I haven't seen a
Durango. So Geneva ordered the Durangos, just never got them or used them as
So Geneva had, can I borrow this? Geneva, it looks like they have Durangos, Explorers, and Transit Connects. What they use them for, I don't know.
The little tiny vans?
Yeah, because they use it for its admin and patrol, and they also utilize it for, if I'm not mistaken, other city vehicles. So you have your SUV that Transit Connect can be used for a CSO.
Yeah.
I think Oswego has one Transit Connect that they use for CSOs.
So pretty cute. If that's the direction you guys are going, it should be the cutest PD in Kendall County.
Yeah.
The lease program always sounds awesome, but then if you're running into the same issues that you have if you purchase them, if you can't get the cars, it doesn't really matter how much you're paying or what you're paying.
Yeah.
But that's why I say, 3 years ago we had that issue with the Interceptor, is that if it's timing and it's something where we have to budget for something but not spend it for 6 months, I know that's going to burn a hole in your pocket, but if that's what we have to do, it's only going to suck that first 6 months, because a year later, you'll have already budgeted for, we're not going to spend it until we have to May 1st, because when are all these vehicles made available? When does the state bid come out?
There's a 20-week lead time right now. Now, when we purchased that first vehicle, we should have had it about 5 weeks ago. And Bear's on the phone with the guy who has the state bid, and he's like, Bear, he goes, I'm trying. He goes, I just can't get them. It's Ford. And we've run into this. You run into this probably every third, fourth, fifth year, where it's just difficult. You know, they redo their line, they move a line, whatever reason it is, it's difficult to get the cars. So, but we're going to try to look, whether it's a Ford or whether it's a Dodge, we're going to look at the pricing and see. I mean, if there's one agency, I think it's $55,000 equipped. Now, I don't know what kind of equipment they have in that vehicle. May not be the same equipment. Maybe it's without a radar, a video camera, whatever it may be. But, boy, if I can get all of our equipment in a Dodge and I can save $5,000 a car over the course of, 3-4 years doing that, it's almost another car.
Absolutely.
So anyway, that's just kind of a preemptive. You guys can look at that and attach that. School communications, the agreement with the school district, I'm still waiting for the attorneys to get together. I don't have another answer on that as far as that goes. Still working on department policies. We have put out our official manual and our code of conduct. That was put out. That will be put out the 6th and will go effective the 6th. So we are doing well on policies. We are hiring another officer, Officer Jordan. He is going to be sworn in by the police commission on the 6th of January over on the other side of the building. He'll then, for the ceremonial city council meeting on the 14th, he'll be here. He already has PTI. He went to, he was hired by Pontiac. Pontiac hired him, put him into the academy. As soon as he graduated, he was on our list and we hired him. So we don't have to worry about the academy. We're working on actually purchasing his equipment from Pontiac. So that way he already has that equipment, whether it's the vest or the belt. And then in the future, we will talk a lot more, but one of the goals that we're going to look to try to do is our targeted patrol team. That's kind of what we're calling it. It's, everybody could say it's a traffic unit. It's a, problem-oriented policing team, whatever. That's one of the things that we're kind of looking forward to in the future. I'll have more to come on that in the next several months with how we're going to do it, how we're going to staff it, what the hours are going to be, and what the actual goals of that particular group are going to be. A lot of it's going to be CIT related. Their job is to focus on problems, and it's not just enforcement. Their job is to educate and inform, and then enforcement is unfortunately sometimes necessary. But that's all I have.
Any other business?
Not for me, thank you.
Do I hear a adjournment?
Yes.
I said 30 minutes, Seaver. I'm sorry. I went 40.
You blew it.